Welcome to Learning to Listen from Classical Minnesota Public Radio. I'm Emily Reese. Lately on Learning to Listen, we've been focusing on musical form, the blueprints that composers use to make a piece of music. If you'd like a reminder on what form is, check out the Introduction to Musical Form episode on classicalmpr.org. So this lesson focuses on the term rondo. That's spelled R-O-N-D-O. The rondo was fairly ubiquitous throughout the classical era, and by classical era, we're talking about the end of the 18th and early years of the 19th century. Composers like Mozart and Haydn and Beethoven, they all loved the rondo form and used it often. But way before those guys, as much as a century or two earlier, Johann Sebastian Bach, Lully, Couperin, and even Monteverdi wrote rondos. So what's a rondo? I like to explain rondo by using fruit. That's right, fruit. Here's why. If we lay a bunch of fruit in a line, the way a composer lays out musical ideas for a rondo, we'd have the following in front of us. An apple, a banana, an apple, a clementine, an apple, a banana, and an apple. Do you see the pattern there? We put an apple between every other piece of fruit. The apple represents the primary musical ideas of the piece. Once the composer presents those ideas, he or she moves on to the banana ideas. Once we're done hearing the banana ideas, we go back and hear the apple ideas again. But the rondo keeps going, and then it's time for the clementine, followed by another apple, then the banana, and finally another apple. We always go back to the apple after we're introduced to new fruit. If you're not much of a fruit person, you could picture a rondo as a chain of alphabet letters. A, B, A, C, A, B, A. The A always comes back before we hear another letter, or in music, before we hear new material. Letters and fruit aside, let's hear how Beethoven created a rondo for the final movement of one of his first real hits, his Piano Sonata No. 8, called the Pathetique. And there you have it. That is our A material, our apple. Let's move on to our banana material. We are still in the banana section here. And here's our return to the sense of the familiar, our apple material. Now that we've heard our apple material again, we go to the clementine material. This is all still part of our clementine section. Now, by now, you might know what to expect as a listener. You're going to hear something you've heard already twice before, the apple material. Now comes back some of the banana material. Still banana. And we'll hear our apple material for one final time before Beethoven wraps up this finale of the 8th piano sonata called the Pathetique. Beethoven gives us a little bit more of an extended ending here called a coda. Tends to add a little more intensity, particularly to a piece like this. And now you know what a rondo is. Thanks for checking out Learning to Listen. I'm Emily Reese. Feel free to send suggestions for topics to me directly at eresse@mpr.org. If you'd like to learn more about a specific composer or a specific piece, a style, let me know and we'll do our best to get it covered. If I can't cover it, we'll find somebody who can. Learning to Listen is funded in part by the Legacy Amendment Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.